Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Amy, good morning to you. How's everything?
Oh, everything's great. How are you?
We're great. Thank you so very much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Okay, you've talked to a lot of people about this NCAA Supreme Court ruling. There's a lot of different kind of layers to the onion. What's the couple bullet point thumbnail as to what this is going to do, when it's going to do anything, and how it's going to affect your run-of-the-mill student-athlete in the NCAA?
Well, I think it's definitely going to have a chilling effect right off the bat on the NCAA in terms of their willingness to restrain compensation to athletes in any form, really. So the big takeaway from this case is that the Supreme Court said that the NCAA has to give extra educational benefits to athletes. Why educational benefits? Because when the athletes originally brought this case, they brought it on the basis of, listen, the NCAA cannot restrain any of our compensation. We should be allowed to be paid in any and all forms, and what they're doing is illegal. Somewhere down the line in the court process, a couple of different courts, the main court and then the appeals court, ruled that they didn't agree with that. They felt that the NCAA should be able to strike a balance between maintaining amateurism, but also that the students should get a little bit more. And so they came to this decision of educational benefits, give them extra educational benefits, restraining, you know, whether they get paid internships, restraining whether they can get money for books and supplies or athletic awards, has nothing to do with you maintaining this tradition of amateurism. It's really not connected. At that point, the NCAA said, wait a minute, we don't want to be told by the courts what to do. We're going to the Supreme Court. We want to maintain our power that we've traditionally had or thought we've had to be able to restrain whatever we want. So they challenged that, you know, and it was actually a really bad decision on the NCAA's part, because this was a minor give where, you know, some athletes could get a couple thousand dollars extra here or there. It wasn't a big deal. And the NCAA got greedy when they went to the Supreme Court and said, we want you to tell the world that we are exempt from all of the antitrust laws in this country, which require people to be paid their market value, which require competition to make markets in this country thrive. And it backfired, because the Supreme Court said, no way. You are not immune from the antitrust laws. You are subject to the antitrust laws. You are running a monopoly. You are putting restraints on the compensation of athletes that are questionable at best, that need to be examined. But because the students didn't come to us and the students didn't challenge the lower court rulings saying that they should only get educational benefits, we can't rule on that. All we can say is, yes, the lower courts were right to give them educational benefits. But the Supreme Court really indicates that the students should have challenged all of the other restraints on compensation as they originally had. They should have taken that fight all the way to the Supreme Court. And if they had, they probably would have gotten a much bigger win here with this case, because the Supreme Court pretty much infers that the NCAA's restrictions on compensation across the board are illegal.
Amy, I've seen some people theorize overnight that this is the first step towards, and it may be a process, but this is the first step towards eventually abolishing the NCAA, that it won't have a function any longer. Are we going down that path?
Well, what the decision does is it opens the door. The court practically invites athletes to bring more litigation or to solve it in other ways, you know, one of the justices says this doesn't have to be solved through litigation. It can be solved through litigation. You can bring more lawsuits and challenge all of the other restrictions and compensation that you failed to challenge during this case, because now we have a test that is going to help the court determine when a restriction on compensation is fair and when it's not. So that's what this case does. It lays out a test. So it's basically inviting athletes to go and sue the NCAA over the other restrictions, and that includes name, image, and likeness. It includes everything, really. And then the court says, or Congress can step in here now that we've laid out this test, and there could be so much more litigation, which the NCAA doesn't want. So the NCAA can beg Congress to step in here, and Congress can exempt them from the antitrust laws, just like some of the sport, you know, Major League Baseball is exempt from it, the NFL draft is exempt from it. And then Congress can lay out how athletes should be paid, or a third option is there can be a union. And anytime there's a union, there's an exemption for leagues. For example, that's how the NFL draft is legal, because there's a union and it bargains for it, and therefore the NFL is not subject to the antitrust laws. The same thing here. If you have a union for college sports, then the NCAA doesn't have to worry about all this litigation. The courts wouldn't adjudicate that. The union would collect for whatever the athletes would want compensation-wise separately. So those are the three options. It's either more litigation for the court to rule on all the other compensation restrictions, including name, image, likeness, or it's a union, or it's Congress steps in. And if one of those things doesn't happen, then the NCAA is sort of in a position where what to do right now, because they could be sued over any type of restriction that they put on these students.
Amy, does this lead to a situation, the joke was always, you know, every once in a while a guy gets drafted into the NFL and says, well, he went to Clemson, he's going to make less money now, he's going to take a pay cut in the NFL, ha, ha, ha. But is this stuff going to happen now where the schools that are ultra-rich and the boosters that are ultra-rich can just run amok and start paying players?
Well, that's actually, interestingly enough, that's what led to the formation of the NCAA in the first place. What happened is it used to be a free-for-all, and then in the 1900s, college football was really, really popular. It was a violent sport. A lot of players were getting killed, actually. And you had this underground payment system where people were paying athletes. Actually, college athletes were hopping from school to school to school. They didn't have residency requirements, so they were just getting paid wherever the money would take them. And Teddy Roosevelt stepped in. He had a meeting with Harvard, Yale, with some of these Ivy League directors, and they formed the NCAA to not make it a safer sport and put standards in place so that kids wouldn't get killed on the field, but also to say, hey, we're going to put an end to this crazy payment system that's going on. And that's when they put all these restrictions in place and said athletes cannot get paid. Now, over the years, it evolved. So then they started paying for tuition. Then they started paying athletic awards. They started giving more and more and more. And in the course of that happening, the college sports industry also became, as the Supreme Court calls it, a commercial enterprise. It became profitable. And now what we're seeing is, with the hundreds of millions of dollars that the NCAA is making, billions of dollars and millions of dollars being paid to coaches, as you said, players getting money from boosters, it's really like the Wild Wild West. And the Supreme Court just says this is a marketplace. This is a labor industry, just like any other industry in America. And there's no reason why it should be treated differently. So, you know, if a hotel worker or a train, you know, a transportation worker, or, you know, even with professional athletes, this is a market and there is a value to their services. And the NCAA needs to figure out what amateurism even is. The Supreme Court wasn't even clear on what amateurism even is. They don't even think the NCAA knows. They're using this excuse of amateurism, and they're raking in the dough. Then they're paying themselves and the people that work for them, but not the ones who are providing the labor. So I think things are going to change drastically.
Odyssey Legal Insider Amy Dash. Amy, we thank you for a couple minutes this morning. We appreciate it, and we'll check back in as this story evolves.
Oh, my pleasure.
Absolutely. Great, great stuff. Insider calls, they're all presented by BetQL. BetQL here to help us make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today, and it will evolve a million times. We'll check in with Amy again because it is, it's a different day in sports. And here's the part of it, too, that's really hairy is what does Robert Morris have in common with Alabama? You know, right. It's not a level playing field. When you say NCAA, even when you say Division I, particularly in basketball, there's such a divide and expanse between the budgets and the money that some of these schools bring
in. The stratification might become even more defined. Yes. And it's, I think as Amy laid it out there, this is just the first step down what's going to be a really long road where more and more athletes bring more and more cases against the NCAA. I don't know how they stand up, how they withstand all that.
Yeah, it is wild.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.